Hi everyone, it's Caddy. How are you? It's Caddy's Cafe and it's May and we're still, most of the world anyway, is still in some sort of lockdown, staying safe and healthy. For May, I have none other than my very favorite partner in crime, Mr. Nick Rhodes. Ooh. Hi, Nicholas.
Hello, Catherine. Hello, everybody else.
Hello. So you're May, because although your birthday's in June, so's John. And so we go every other year with you guys. Last year, you were the June Cafe. This year, you're the May Cafe. So we're doing your birthday.
Wow, amazing how you work that complicated schedule out, Catherine.
It was, you know, it's hard to keep track. You don't know. We've been doing these since like 2002, and it was a leap year this year. So it could have gotten dicey, but no. It has worked out perfectly. How are you finding yourself on this sunny day, Nicholas?
I'm fine, actually. I like everybody else, I'm really sad that the world is going through this horrible time. It's very upsetting seeing the devastation and the lives that it's taking away from people, but you've got to remain hopeful that we will find the solutions that we need for it. There was a bit of a breakthrough here yesterday, today, with an antibody test from Switzerland that they're rather hoping is 100% accurate. I think that would certainly be good for them to be able to track things as to who has really been infected at some stage and whether any of us have antibodies and how long they might even last will be the next question. But it's definitely one of the most unexpected and difficult times through my lifetime, and I would think most people's. And let's hope for better days coming soon.
Yeah, it's been a pretty hectic time for, I think, the whole world, which is not something you generally say. And I think we've discussed this before. It's hard to believe this has happened in our lifetime. And I think that we'll be feeling it for a long time to come. I don't know that things will ever resume.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw, but in Los Angeles yesterday, they extended certain bits of their lockdown. But also, you can't leave your home without a mask, which I do believe is going to become a new normal, certainly for bigger cities.
Well, for the moment, I don't think people can be too careful because we know very little about the virus other than it's incredibly contagious and obviously can have fatal effects on a lot of people. And so I think that it's sensible advice for everybody to be as vigilant and careful as they can. It isn't such a big deal wearing a face covering. It's obviously not terribly comfortable at certain times, but it's a little protection for sure. And for anyone who has the virus, they won't be hopefully giving it to other people. So I think this advice is good. It's the confusing advice that is more of a worry, really, because when people aren't sure what they're supposed to do, that's when things come unstuck. But if people can stay at home longer now, then I still think they should, certainly in Britain, because it's clearly still very much here, and the death rate here is still pretty high. Yes, it is coming down according to the numbers, but it's really awful. So I would just use common sense and caution wherever you can, but to think that it has gone away or it's not going to be coming back anytime soon is not particularly realistic now.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Did you, when this first started, did you think that this was it was going to be this long, you know, that it was really going to total the world?
Well, again, like everybody else, I didn't know, but I did suspect that it was a lot worse than perhaps people were initially saying because of what was going on in China, and I just sensed that we weren't getting the full picture. It's always hard to know what's really gone on there. And then by the time it sort of started spreading through Europe, particularly with northern Italy, it became glaringly obvious very quickly that it was far more serious than some mild symptoms as people were trying to portray it early on. It really was only if you have underlying conditions or you're really old that you're likely to have any further problem with it. But sadly, has not turned out to be the case at all, has it? It's it can really strike anyone, and it really depends upon the person what the effect is. But I think the other side of it is that we do all have a lot more time at home now.
Yeah.
And you need to try to do the best that you can with that time. From my own personal point of view, I've at least started to pull together projects that I have wanted to do for a long time but haven't had the time to do because we've always been busy in the recording studio or playing shows. And my photographic archive, I'm trying to get into much better shape, labeling everything and logging, which is a really unforgiving task, but it's mm-hmm. something that needs to be done. I want to have a look at the musical that John and I have written over the last sort of decade, see if we can get that back into some shape. And there's obviously several other Duran projects that are in the pipeline that we can now concentrate on trying to put in order. And, you know, it's nice to spend some time being able to write and to draw, to paint, to do things that I never really have time for, to read.
Wow.
I've actually had a chance to look at lots of my books, which has been a joy. So there has been a little flip side of a few things. In London, though, I think the most extraordinary thing is that because we don't have aeroplanes going over all the time, it's so much more peaceful and there's a lot less cars. The air is a lot better. And I've noticed a lot more wildlife. It's really lovely to see so many birds I've seen birds I haven't seen for years in London. I had a wagtail in my garden the other day, which was actually rather beautiful.
What did you have?
A wagtail.
What is that?
It's a lovely sort of black and white bird with quite a longish tail. You have to go and look it up, Catherine. Google, haven't you?
I do.
It's rather lovely.
You know what we had last night on our front lawn? A skunk.
Oh, that's perhaps not quite so lucky.
No, it wasn't. And the dog had to go out, but the skunk ran away. It wasn't any more interested in meeting my dog than we were in having it come closer. So that worked out.
Yeah, I don't know whether I've ever managed to get too close to one, but apparently
no,
not a good thing to do anyway, is it?
No. So, Nicholas, this month we asked members of the fan community to send in questions, and they took the task seriously, and we got a lot of really cool questions. Hopefully we'll get to all of them. And I'd like to get started. What do you think? You ready?
Okay.
Ready
Let's
for the
go.
Okay, Nicholas. Oh, that's me saying it. No one else calls you Nicholas. Okay, greetings from Tel Aviv. Have you learned something about yourself that surprised you during this bizarre lockdown period? Thanks for taking our questions. Keep safe. Serena.
Well, I probably have, actually, Selena. For a start, I've spent hours and hours doing the most mundane things that I didn't ever know that I had that kind of patience left still. Particularly I'm referring to logging my photographs. So it's sort of tree, mannequin, book, friends, and it goes on and on and on. And I've certainly found out the things that I've taken more pictures of than I'd realized over the last sort of, I suppose 18 years is what I'm looking at, my digital photos first. And then the overwhelming task of dealing with the 35mm images, with none of which are scanned. But yes, I also, I found that I've been sleeping better, which is good, that it is possible for me to sleep longer. I've been a terrible insomniac for many, many years, and so I'm usually awake almost every hour. And
that's mega.
And so I've been sleeping a little more. Well, I sleep like a cat. I sort of sleep a little while, then wake up for a while, then go back to sleep. So that's been interesting. And then I've been trying to spend some more time outdoors. So I've really actually enjoyed feeding birds and doing things like that. I've got a squirrel as well. Yeah. I'm not sure we get some with the birds, but. I don't know. I think everybody's probably learned a little something because we've all had to really start to concentrate and do things that we hadn't done before. Spending that much time indoors is a lot for anyone.
It sure is. And you live near your daughter, so that's been nice, I imagine, being able to see her more.
Yeah, it's been great. Well, we always see each other all the time, so that hasn't changed that dramatically.
Very neat. I like that. Thanks for the question, Serena. Maria Von, Maria, I'm going to butcher your name, Maria Van Dijen, says, Nick, out of curiosity, you told us that Grace Jones was added to the bill for the Hyde Park concert. Would you have played Election Day or The Flame during the set?
Well, it's sad that we're having to talk about it in the past tense, even though the date hasn't arrived yet, but of course
yeah.
It is cancelled. I don't know. We did think, of course, that it would have been fun to do something with each of the artists on the bill, particularly as we're fans of everybody, and we worked with Grace before and with Niall, obviously, not with Gwen. But it would have been nice to do something with each person. Election Day would have been the obvious choice for Grace. But then often when the long festival days and people have to concentrate on their own shows, the last thing they want to do is have additional stuff to work on and to have to hang around until pretty much the end of the show. So often those things aren't quite as easy as they would seem, and the timing to rehearse things is difficult. But is it a lovely idea, and would I have liked to have done it? Very much so.
I agree. Well, maybe there'll be another chance, you know? You never
We
know.
Are, as most people, I think you'll find, but none of us know what's going to happen yet, we are looking at rescheduling everything that we were unable to do this year for next year. But obviously we have to see how things unfold, because I think a lot needs to happen within the next 11, 12 months for the public to be able to gather together in such large numbers.
Yeah, indeed. Margaret from Baton Rouge, Louisiana says, my question is, being home, have you had the opportunity for self-reflection during the pandemic? And have you been inspired in some way to live life or work creatively differently as things move on?
Definitely, Margaret, no question. I always have far too many ideas of things that I want to do. And we run a lot of projects at the same time. So currently, just a few on the unfinished list are mine and John's musical. I've got a Japanese photography documentary that I filmed most of that I need to edit, which is a lot of work. So that's awaiting attention. My photographic book that I started a few years ago that shouldn't really have taken anywhere near this long, that is finally completed. I received finished copies, so that will be coming out, I'm assuming, later this year. And I'm very pleased with how that's turned out. And yes, I tend to try and focus some of my day on writing or on creating things, because it's otherwise I go a little crazy. I think that's what I like to do most, is to make things, whatever they are, even origami. But yes, I'm trying to focus more. I don't think it's easy some days, because you tend to get a lot more calls. Like Zoom has taken over the world. That's the other big change that happens. So I try to keep in touch with a few friends, and there's still lots of things to do with our office. Sadly, a lot of them about cancellations of things, but some about the album too. We've been working on how to complete the album over the coming weeks, and I think we've got to a point where we probably have a few tracks that are ready to mix, I'm thrilled to say. So we want to move that forward. And I would urge everybody to try and do something creative, whatever it is, or to at least spend some time reading, do some things for yourself, because that's kind of an important part of self-preservation when you are confined like this.
I agree. I'm wondering if some of the things we've implemented in our house are gonna stick around. I sure hope that they do. Francine says, and I like this question a lot, if you were only able to take one more picture in your lifetime, what would you take a picture of? That's heavy duty.
Wow. That's a very good question, but I don't know that there's a simple answer for it, because it would really depend upon where one was. Right now, if it were something at home, I guess probably a portrait of all of us that are here on that day would be the thing to mark something, because this is what it was at the time, photo. But equally, I'd love to go out to the garden. I've got some really beautiful flowers at the moment, so I quite like photographing flowers. I could, you know, there's nothing more beautiful to me in many ways. So that would be a good thing. The moon.
The moon.
The moon, but I'd need a good enough lens.
I wonder.
A friend
who
of
would
mine
see.
Has just got a fantastic new camera, telescope camera, which I'm very envious of. And he's been taking some really wonderful pictures of the moon. And it doesn't matter how many times I see the moon, and it often looks somewhat similar in pictures because of the very nature of it and the only available light, etc. But I'm always completely mystified when I see a photograph of the moon.
Oh, I love the moon. Do you think anybody's on the moon?
Not right now.
Oh. I want to be on the moon.
I'd like to go to the moon one day too, but I don't know that I'd want to be cramped up in one of those rockets for a few days to get there. And I guess it'd be one of those things that'd be so thrilling for those few seconds, and then you have to come all the way back. Not as bad as Mars, though.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to go to Mars. Do you want to go to Mars?
I wouldn't mind if I could sort of teleport in and out, but
right.
Would I want to spend 6 months or 9 months, whatever it is? No.
Did you ever see the Disney Pixar short called La Luna?
No. No, and I love Pixar.
Oh, my gosh. It was one of the first things that Tanner, and he has been 1.5 or so, watched continuously. You know how little kids watch the same thing over
and
over.
They are fantastic.
It's about
most of them I've seen.
It's 7 minutes long. It's about a family that cleans the moon. You'll love it. And everybody listening should go find it, La Luna. Alejandra from San Francisco said, "Hi, Nick. If you could have a cameo walk-on appearance in any Hitchcock movie, what would it be and what would you be doing in the scene?" I love these questions.
Hold on. A cameo walk-on on what?
Any Hitchcock movie. Any Hitchcock movie.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow. I quite like the one where he's got the poodles and he walks across the street, old our Alf. What would I want? Well, I love Marnie.
Okay.
I don't know. I say I love Marnie. There's really not a Hitchcock movie that I don't like. A laugh.
Wasn't
couple,
Kippy
not quite
Hedges
so good. Psycho. I mean, Psycho. Wouldn't you want it to be there in the shower scene?
No. I
wouldn't. There's so many. Vertigo at the... at the top of the church bells. Maybe ringing the church bell would have been good. What else? Wow.
So
Marnie to me is sort of the real cult one in a way. It's lesser known. I love Rope as well. And Rope is all sort of one take, so it would have been quite nice to come in with the right outfit and bring some cocktails on a tray and just leave in Rope.
I don't even know that film.
Rope? Oh, it's magnificent. You should really see that. Yeah, it's all in one room. It's just fantastic. So, yeah, that would be nice to catch a thief. That would be a good one. Oh, this is a hard question. This
it's
is much
hard
harder. There's far too many of them. And of course, you know, we the one I should say is Notorious.
Yes.
You know, when we started the Notorious album, John and I were just creating tracks, and we didn't want any names to really stick. When you write a song, you often give it a scratch title. And you hope that you come up with something better. But we thought, well, if we give them all titles that are Hitchcock movies,
yeah,
then we're never going to use them. So one of them was called Notorious,
yeah,
which ended up being the album title and the song. Another one was called Vertigo, which Simon
right.
loved, and so that became Vertigo Do the Demolition. And then the other ones didn't make it, but I think because they were things like The Man Who Knew Too Much, and but that's a bad title. It sounds very John Fox. But yeah, anyway, they were all named. Every one of the demos were named after Hitchcock movies. But
well,
I don't know. I think that's enough walk-ons for me. Maybe Rope with a tray of drinks, or the top of the tower at in Vertigo, because that's another of my favorites. I have to say, I love that movie.
So it only could happen in 2020 during a quarantine. While you were talking, I sent a text to Brian, my husband, who's downstairs, and I wrote, "Do you know the film Rope by Alfred Hitchcock?" And he wrote, "Yes, I love it. It's one of his best ones." And I wrote that.
Yeah, it is fantastic, that one. It's so kind of claustrophobic and clever. And what you see, it's just so beautifully scripted, the whole thing.
Well, that's what he said. He said it takes place in one room. So, see,
yeah.
I know that. You said, I don't know much about film. They're all
so great. They're just so beautiful. Like the birds. I quite like to have been in the birds, actually. That would be good. You know, perhaps when I could have come over with a Band-Aid for Tippi Hedren when she first gets pecked by the bird. Could have fixed that for her. I think that's my cameo.
Okay, that's gross. Let's move on. You know, I'm afraid of birds. I think we've discussed this. Not because of
No, I love birds.
Angela Ohm says, "Dear Nick, thank you for years of amazing music, photos, live concerts, and being so kind to your friends, fans, and I'm sure your friends too. Special shout out to Nefer for being so nice as well. As I recall, you used to have cats, or at least a cat. Do you still have any? And what kind? And do they like Duran Duran? What is their favorite song? Thank you in advance. Stay safe and healthy."
Oh, I wish I had a cat. That's one of my true regrets. I don't have that many, but not having a cat for so long. I haven't had one for about a decade now. And the only reason being that I've been traveling so much that I don't like leaving animals alone, really. It used to be heartbreaking. My cat was a Russian blue called Yag. He's absolutely one of the loves of my life. I adored that cat, and he was so funny. But when I went away, he really got very upset. He used to climb inside of my suitcase and hide in there. I nearly zipped him up a couple of times in there without knowing he was there, obviously. So I decided that I wouldn't get another one. When I was traveling that much, but I can't wait for when I do have another one. I'd have a Russian blue in a heartbeat again, just because they have such a lovely temperament. They're so intelligent, and I used to be able to go outside and call him, like call a dog, and he'd just come running in as if to say, "Yes, what did you want?" I love most cats. I like sort of plain old moggies. I like black cats. I like Siamese cats, although they are very loud. Burmese cats. I'd really like something more exotic too. Not quite as exotic as the recent Netflix series, but there are a Savannah would be lovely. They're amazing. Amazing looking cats, but I wouldn't want one that was so wild. I'd want one removed. I can't remember what they call them, the sort of F1s, F2s, F3s. I think you want about an F3, not an F1, which means it's a little more distant from its wild relatives. But there's so many beautiful cats. Maybe a Bengal cat. I have a friend who's got a couple of those. They're incredibly beautiful. So either those or I'd happily return to the Russian blue.
Did Yag have a favorite Duran Duran song? I remember Yag, by the way.
Yag. He preferred classical music. He was a complete snob. It was all about Tchaikovsky and Stravinsky. The Russians. He particularly liked the Russians. Rachmaninoff.
I know as much about cats as I do about Hitchcock, so... I'll take your word for it. Our next question is from Bradley. And these fan community questions are fantastic. What was the last picture you can remember taking with a Polaroid camera? And what was the very last picture you've taken present day? In health, Bradley.
Okay. So the last picture I took with a Polaroid camera was when I was doing the Bay Incubi project, and I was photographing some footage that I'd taken, and I was taking some stills from a screen of the girl that I had shot for the exhibition in the book. So that's definitely the last Polaroid I took. And then the last photo I took would have been with my iPhone a few hours ago. I took a photograph of a vinyl record.
Wow. What record?
Oh, it was some obscure 1950s record that I'd not seen before. that somebody had sent to me, and I thought, what is that? I must look that up. So I took a photo of it, and I haven't looked it up yet.
Okay. Very good. Very good, Nicholas. I like that. The next question, I have to stop saying so much. The next question is from Ice Queen One. Hello, Nick. I'm glad your restrictions are starting to be lifted. I'm sure family are the first people you'd go see. That being said, Ice Queen, this is a hard one. Which of the guys in Duran Duran would you go see first? Stay safe.
Well. Yes, maybe. I would definitely go and see. I'd go and see my mother actually because I haven't seen her for a while.
Yeah.
But out of the band, I'd see whoever was here, whoever was home. That would be Simon or Roger because John is in California, and I don't think I'm going to be getting on an airplane anytime soon. But neither Simon nor Roger live so far away, and actually they live quite close to each other, so I could probably get to a certain point, toss a coin, and say left or right.
Very diplomatic, Nicholas, very diplomatic. Mike Vettel from Ohio says, have you, Simon, John, or Roger, ever considered playing one song from each album per night on tour? It would be incredible to hear My Antarctica and Electric Barbarella live. If this isn't an option, would you do a mashup of all the songs that represent all the Duran Duran albums, similar for what you guys did in the Electro set for Red Carpet Massacre Tour?
We're always talking about what to do with the set and how to make things a little different. But it's usually trying to find a fine balance between playing all the songs that the majority of the audience really want to hear, playing some new songs from whatever the new album is, and then finding some more unusual choices from the catalogue. We have previously played Electric Barbarella many times, actually. Not for some years, but we have played it. We played it on the reunion tour, I know, at some stage. And we've played it with Dom since then. My Antarctica we tried a couple of times. I don't know whether we actually ever put it in a show. I think we might have done once or twice. But it was a very difficult song to fit in because it's quite slow. Not many people know the song. It's probably, our least selling album. It's on the Liberty album. So it's a bit tricky because what happens is you tend to lose a lot of the audience. We can always see the sort of diehard fans dotted around and certainly right at the very front who are thrilled to hear something that is more unusual and has never been played before. But then you sense that the rest of the audience become a little more impatient. So we have to find a balance. We did do some shows some years ago, some warm-up shows in the UK, when we played a lot of really obscure songs.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
And so I think it's completely doable for sort of fan shows to do something special. And actually, it would be nice to play something off every one of the albums. There's definitely tracks on each one that I think work well live. Maybe one day. There's lots of things to get to. We keep getting asked if we'll ever play the whole of the first album or the Rio album.
Right.
So that's another one to look at. But I quite like doing the obscure things. And then there's talk of maybe doing something orchestral, which I think could be really, could be interesting too. But yeah, we'll see if we can get My Antarctica in somewhere one day, because it is a beautiful song, that one.
I like that song too. Laura asks, Nick, you've mentioned a few times that there might be a retrospective show of Duran Duran fashion at some point. Have you started to work on curating your personal collection with a show in mind? And if so, what's the process like?
It's long and arduous. We have quite a lot of things to archive. The archiving has now been going on, I would think, for approaching 9-10 years. It's a big, big process, but I think at the end of it, we will have something really special that should tell anybody who might be interested just about anything that you'd want to know about Duran Duran. The clothes are very much part of that. I seem to have many more clothes, or certain things that I've kept than anybody else. John and Simon do have some of their more well-known outfits from videos and things like that, but they didn't keep everything, and John moved a lot of times and lost a lot of stuff along the way. But nonetheless, there's still an awful lot there. And paper, so everything from reviews, magazine articles, front covers, to personal letters from people and to people, contracts, awards, all those sort of things are slowly getting logged as well. Simon's lyric books were all scanned not long ago. I think there was about 30 of them.
Wow.
So there's lots of things in there that people have never seen, and working drafts of different songs. It's extraordinary how much stuff is there. Then, of course, all the merchandise, things like the Duran Duran Arena game that we did with MB in the middle of the 80s. There's a lot of things, some lovely design pieces, of course, all the graphic design and artworks that people did for us, an inordinate amount of photos and video. The video has now all pretty much been logged, I think. So it is an ongoing process, and we would love to do a show. Sadly, at the moment, knowing the way the world is, I don't know what's even going to happen with museums and gatherings, and I'm assuming some of the bigger museums will open and will have social distancing rules in place, but I don't know what will happen with attendance figures and with smaller galleries, so I don't know when the project will come to fruition, but certainly we've had a lot of interest in people wanting to see that kind of a show. And also, we've been approached by different galleries around the world who have shown some interest in potentially staging it. So I think we will get there. And regarding the archive, I don't know how that will manifest itself. I would think there'll be some sort of publication from it, a book, and definitely online. There'll probably be some access available at some stage. I don't know whether to all of it or to a limited amount. At the moment, there's over 100,000 items locked.
Get out.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I would think the large majority of that is paper. Meaning, literally what I was talking about, ephemera and photos.
That's pretty amazing. I can't even imagine, actually. Krista has a funny question, I think. Hi, Nick. I have to ask about the room you've been video chatting from. On the Red Ronnie show, it looked completely empty and maybe under construction. In the Omaz promo, you appear to be in the same room, but they're mannequins. What's the room's usual use, and what are the mannequins for? Yes, we have too much time on our hands to ponder these issues, Krista.
Dear. It's a room. It, you're right. It is a big empty room, and as such, I can use it for whatever I like, which is really what the purpose was. I haven't decided what I'm doing with that yet, but during this period, it's been quite useful to just make things, to do things. I can spread things out on the floor. I can pin things on the wall. I can take mannequins up there for lunch. I can do broadcast things from there when that's necessary. The mannequins have been around for a while. My daughter made a film with them, which used a piece of TV Mania music for many years ago when she was at Central St. Martin's, and I rather like them. So they've been part of the family. Makes me feel more comfortable when I'm all on my own.
Do you ever walk into the room and see them and get scared like I would?
No. No. They don't say much.
Yeah, I can imagine. Good company, though. Mika says, Simon's voice plays off of female vocals really well. Are there any missed opportunities for working with other vocalists that may have happened during recording due to schedule, etc.?
Yeah, I'm sure there are many. Often ideas come up to collaborate with people, and when both parties like the idea, the struggle is to coordinate it to make it happen if you want to do it together. Of course, now with the way technology is, often you can do things remotely. When we worked with Kelis on The Man Who Stole a Leopard, she actually recorded that in her studio. We'd sent her the stems from the track, and she sent back her vocal, which was fabulous. It would have been really fun to do it all together, but we at least did get to do that once at the David Lynch show in LA that we recorded some years ago. But yeah, there are many missed opportunities out there, and you never quite know who would like to collaborate with you. People are often nervous to ask. We're not particularly. We don't mind. We don't mind a refusal here and there if people don't like the idea. There's nothing wrong in asking, and people should ask. You know, I'm always up for interesting ideas. Often, I think the collaborations, the ones that are the most successful and unusual, are the ones that perhaps aren't necessarily a match that you would expect. And of course, there are matches that you think, well, that's going to be great, that are, do turn out to be good because they, you know, they fit together well. But yeah, we don't really have a collaboration on this album yet with any other singers. And
really? That's unusual.
Yeah, and I think we should. We're definitely up for one. It's just we haven't zeroed in on who would be good and who might be up for it. There's loads of great female artists out there right now, that's for sure. But I suspect that most of them are in enormous demand too, especially people like Billie Eilish, who's had a blockbuster year and a half, 2 years. And I think rightly so. I think her record was by far the most interesting for a long time. But yeah, lots of great people out there.
Sure. Indeed, I do. I can't sing, so I won't. If anyone's wondering why I've never been on an album, that's why. Kathy Diaz says, Hi, Nick. Duran Duran has a long list of unreleased songs. Is there one that you do wish made it onto an album? And if so, which one?
Don't Look Back. That's a song that we recorded with Nile Rodgers at the same time as we did Wild Boys.
Oh, wow.
And we never finished it, but I have listened to the track that we had not that long ago, perhaps a year or so ago, because when we're talking about doing the anthology, which is another thing that's sort of bubbling away in the background, I'd like to make that something really special where we can resurrect a few tracks that we never got to finish, that being the first one that comes to mind, and, you know, do different things to some of the tracks, maybe remix a few of them, maybe put some new parts on some of them, maybe put out some instrumentals of some of the tracks that we never got a vocal for. I think that would really make the anthology more special rather than just putting out some demo versions of the same tracks. So, again, time-consuming. And then, of course, there's the Reportage album, which is an entire record, the last one with Andy Taylor, which was never released. And I think it's worthy of releasing one day. We all like the record. I'm assuming Andy probably would not be adverse to it going out if we all agree on mixing and sorting it all out. But there's some really interesting material on there. It's a time capsule.
Yeah.
It's probably a bit more political than most of our albums have ever been.
I've heard Reportage, and I agree. It's different. It sounds different than any other Duran Duran album I've heard. In fact, I might.
Yeah, I think it should be out there one day. I'm not hiding it under my bed for no reason. I think it needs to be finished.
Yeah,
would need probably. I should think 3 or 4 weeks' work to clean everything up and finish the remaining bits of the lyrics, but there are mostly the lyrics are done, which is an unusual predicament.
So that would be thrilling, and that would only be for an anthology. You think you wouldn't release it?
Well, I don't know. No, I think that could go out as a separate album at some point. But it's getting round to all these things, and it's fine that we've got lots of time now at home. But as of yet, we're not back in the studio. If I can get back in the studio, I can start doing all kinds of things.
Yeah. You don't have a home studio, right?
No, but, you know, we can. There's lots of studios in London we can use once it becomes a little easier.
Yes, indeed. Fabiana says, "Hello, Nick. How are you? My question for you is, in your opinion, how would you describe and categorize the different ways that Mark Ronson, Errol Alkin, and Giorgio Moroder have influenced the recording of the new album? And if you could describe the sound of Graham Coxon's guitar. Thank you, and much love from Argentina. Please stay safe, Fabiana."
What? Fabiana, how lovely to hear from you. I saw Fabiana on a video link the other day when I was doing the interview with Red Bronick.
Fabulous.
Well, Graham Coxon's guitar. Well, the first thing that how would I describe it? Loud. So that's how I describe most guitars. Actually, Graham's a very subtle guitarist. In many, many ways, he's able to create different atmospheres, which a lot of guitarists, I don't think, are as able to do. One minute he'll be making some kind of noise through effects pedals that you have no idea what it is. I'm playing and he's playing at the same time, and I'm looking, thinking, is it me doing that pitch bend or him at the moment? It got a little like that at times, which was actually quite good fun. So he'll go from making the most extraordinary noise to playing really tight, sharp rhythm guitar to a sort of solid rock riff, but with an unusually modern sound. He's very versatile, and I like the way that he thinks musically. He's inventive. So yeah.
And so that's Graham.
He loves effects with Graham, which is music to my ears in itself. I love processing things in music. Always makes it more fun. So that's Graham. What else did Fabiana want to know about the producers?
Yeah.
Well, that's lots of long answers that I'm sure I'm going to be asked in interviews moving forward. But briefly. Giorgio Moroder is exactly how you would have wanted him to be. He's pure joy, is what he is. He wants to make things that are uplifting, that make people dance, and that fit within the world that he created. And in our case, we've merged our world with Giorgio's world. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the one thing on the album that probably people are going to say, yes, that's what I hoped it would sound like. It is the perfect blend of the ingredients that the two of us have in our cupboards. And he was just really great fun to work with, very relaxed and so knowledgeable. You really knew you were working with a master. Errol is high energy. Errol is all about getting the right vibe to try and get performances out of people and to try out different ideas. He loves effects. He particularly likes flanges, we found, which I've used for many, many years. But Errol, I think, is really having a lot of fun with that on the record. And he comes at it from a different angle. I think he's more high energy than any of the producers we've had before. He's more about getting the vibe of the tracks than anything else to me. And then Mark's another master producer. He's always got great ideas. He's got the broadest understanding and musical knowledge of most people I've ever met. And he knows where to put things. He's got great taste.
Mm.
That's something with Mark that I think on all the records he's made, which have been widely varied, he's made a great job on whatever he's done. If it's sort of new Motown, or whether it's hip hop, or whether it's modern rock or electronic music, he knows what to do with what he's got. He's very good at chord structuring and melodies. And he knows when he's got something. He that's the other important thing about any producer, I think, is to know when to strike, to say, right, hold on, that's good, let's use that. Editing, all about the editing. But yeah, we need to see Mark soon, actually, or whenever we can, because we haven't finished those tracks, so there's a little more work to do on those.
Very good. That was a very more of an answer than I think I thought we would get. So thank you, Nick. Thank you, Fabiana, for asking. Elaine, our friend Elaine, says, Elaine like the French name, not Elaine like the restaurant in New York. Nick, you seem like you all get along fairly well, but you and Simon have such varied interests. It's amazing that you both have been together for 40 years. Simon loves sports, and you hate sports. Does it drive you nuts when Simon goes on about football or tries to put it on in the dressing room? Or does the bond over music just give him a pass? Elaine.
Well, Elaine, I think just like everybody in life, we're all a little bit different. In my case and Simon's case, you're right. We are enormously different. And we have very different interests. But of course, we share a great passion for music and for working together. I have endless time for Simon creatively, because I still believe when he manages to get certain things right in music, he's as good as anyone out there to work with. This is why we've stuck together, because we can all make things on our own or with other people, but actually, as a team, we really discover stuff, we pull and tug in different directions, and end up with quite unusual, unique pieces. So it's our ability to explore and to not put boundaries around ourselves, and our curiosity, that has kept us together. I can assure you it is not Simon's taste in sport which holds any great interest for me personally, but I'm all for him enjoying himself and having a happy life outside of Duran Duran as well as within Duran Duran. And I think I'm the only band member that doesn't particularly care for sports. I like some things. I like chess. It's about the most dangerous sport I ever play.
Is that a sport, Nicholas?
Well, of course it's sport. And I like tennis. I like to watch tennis. Okay. I think that can be very exciting. But I don't watch a lot of sport, for sure. Definitely not sort of football and things that a lot of people in England tend to watch. But there you go. Now, we are very different, but then they also say opposites attract, don't they?
They do indeed. Indeedy-doo-doo-doo. Ultimate Xavier asks, is there a song in the Duran Duran catalog, looking back, you'd like to have another go at? Maybe there's a newer tech or musical style that would have added something to it.
I would say generally not, because what I like about what we have created is that we use the best tools that were available to carve out the piece at that time. And I don't think going back to it, I look at them in the same way as I would look at paintings. You wouldn't go back to a painting you made in whatever year and say, there's a new black now, I'd like to redo that background. I don't think you would. Having said that, I'm just going to completely contradict myself by saying that one thing John Taylor and I have talked about often is going back to the Liberty album and completely overhauling it and doing the sort of director's cut of it, because it is the one album we made which I feel was enormously under potential. Yeah. And it wasn't anybody's fault at the time. It was just, I think that some of the things I was going through in my life personally were a bit more complicated then, and I don't feel that I managed to get everything out of it that I would have liked, and I know John feels the same. There's more extra tracks for that album than any other album we've ever made. I think there's probably enough for it could have been a double album. So I quite like to get those tracks, finish them, and completely overhaul every single track on that album, change the drum sounds, change parts, redo some of the vocals, even probably tweak some of the lyrics, and put out a different version of that album, because it's the one that troubles me.
You know the fans are now going to be asking about this for years to come.
John and I have been talking about it for years, and it still hasn't happened, so good luck with it. But if I had a month somewhere, that would be, I really think it would be worth it. And I think people would be shocked at how different it would sound, because there's some great things in there that were just never brought to potential.
Right. I like that record, actually.
There's a few songs. My Antarctica is probably the one I do the least to, by the way.
Oh, interesting. Randy says, if you could be any other band that exists today, what band would it be and why?
I've been asked this before, and I don't, there isn't another band that I would really like to be in, because I think that we have much more flexibility than other bands, and I just don't think that they can go to the places we can go to, because they're locked into a lineup where they can't all stand at the front of the stage and play keyboards, or they don't want to do that.
Right.
It's our flexibility that I love. So there isn't really one. If I were to sort of go and join another band for fun, for a holiday season, then I guess it would have been either Kraftwerk or or the Pet Shop Boys. I think would be the other British band, because I still feel that Neil and Chris are really great songwriters, and I love the irony in Neil's lyrics, and he knows how to pick out a good melody too, and they're fun. So
yeah.
And they understand art and aesthetics, so I'd feel perfectly comfortable there.
My goodness, that's interesting. That would not have been my guess.
What would have been your guess, Catherine?
My guess would have been who? I can't believe I can't. I'm so tired. Daft Punk. I knew it would come to me. That would have been my
guess. Daft Punk. Well, yeah, that would be another great choice. I put them in the same sort of bracket in some ways that I put the Pet Shop Boys, because I think they're really good fun. They've got great aesthetics, and you know, for sure the songs are pretty spot on.
Yeah. Okay. I feel that's good. That's good. We're at our last question, which I can barely believe. My goodness, we've done well with our time, or you've done very well with your time, Nicholas. Very thorough, smart answers. Shad says, how much of a role do you play in designing the video and visual content that is displayed on the background screens during live Duran Duran performances? Well, I know the answer, but go ahead, Nicholas.
Quite a lot of time is the simple answer. It's one of those things. In the band, we take on different roles. And over the last decade or so, increasingly, I've taken on even more of a role with the live show and what it looks like. Of course, we all get involved, and I work with John more closely than Simon and Rog on visuals, but they're all pretty happy to leave it to me to run with my ideas and the sort of films that I think we should have up there, or the imagery we should use. So for the last few tours, I've done most of it, or found people to do the films. I've done several of them myself, and then brought in people to create visuals for other ones. Which actually I really enjoy. It's very different to think about the scale of it, particularly if you're playing bigger places, you know, if there are arenas or even outdoor shows. You've got to think about how the footage is going to work and how it might work in a smaller venue, because occasionally we do shows in theaters or special events, and so you sort of bear that in mind too. But it's getting a balance between beauty and abstraction and things that make people smile, and fashion and art, I suppose.
Every time I see a new Duran Duran tour and a new Duran Duran film, I see a lot of you in it. Not visually, of course, but a lot of what I know your aesthetic is. And you are, I'm waiting for you to direct a film, Nicholas. I feel like you might
be
missing
your calling. Well, that's another one that's been on the list forever and ever and ever. But I stopped saying it, I think, about 2 decades ago because I realized that there was no point saying it. If you ever want to do it, just do it. And it is something that I really hope one day I get round to. In a way, I am with the Japanese film. It's not the same as creating a beautiful film of your own. This is more using the incredible imagery that these Japanese photographers have created. Yes, I would dearly love to make a film. You just realize, as they always say, as the cliche goes, life is what happens when you're making other plans.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to wrestle projects under control and try and get things to completion. And in most people's lives, there's a lot of projects that never get completed. So you got to pick your battles.
For certain. Nicholas, this has been a fantastic cafe, one of the best in recent memories. The questions were great. Your answers were great. The whole thing was a pleasure from start to finish.
Well, thank goodness for that, Catherine. Thank goodness.
Yes. So I want to take the time to wish you happy birthday from the fan community a little early, because we won't be back with you probably until, let's see, May, June, July, or September for my birthday. So you can set me then. But for right now, it's all about you, Nicholas, and I do want to wish you a very, very happy birthday. And, wow, it's a little early.
Wow, you're the first this year, Catherine, but thank you.
You're welcome. It's a little early to know what you'll be doing, but if you had to guess, you think you'll be at home?
I do.
I do, too. I better get your gift ready, Nicholas. I got to go to the post office, that means. Will I risk it? I will. Indeed, I will. Well, Nicholas, thank you so much for being a part of the fan community's Q&A, Caddy's Cafe. Awesome questions. And we will certainly look forward to speaking to you again in a few months.
All right, Catherine. Well, thank you, and thank you to everybody for the questions. There were definitely some good ones in there.
Yeah, indeed. Take care, Nicholas. We'll speak soon.
All right. Bye, Catherine.